we're going to continue. This is the first Wednesday night, and that's what we're going to do for the remainder of the academic year. And we're going to keep on with the prodigal son. And last week, we left off with verse 20, he arose and came to our father. And what we discerned was, is if we're going to be the children of God that we need to be, there are going to be times in our life when we find ourselves in the pig pen. And that's going to require three things to make a change. It's going to require the great awakening. And that's kind of God given, where you wake up and it's like, dude, I'm in a pig pen. I mean, how did I get there? This is going to take some honesty. There's no projection, there's no minimizing, there's no denying it. You're in the pig pen, and you got there because it's your fault. And then what we looked at is the third thing to becoming the kind of children of God that he wants us to be is we got to take action, and that's what we looked at last week. He arose. I mean, the verse could have said, and he stayed in the pig pen, and then we wouldn't have the story of the prodigal son. That would have been just kind of a lame story. So for the next few months, maybe through the end of the year, what we're going to do is we're going to look at impediments to verse 20, he arose. Because in verse 18, it says, I'm over in 1 Samuel here. In 18, it says, he says to himself, when he had the great awakening, he says, I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thee. So he thought to himself, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to talk to my dad. And I'm going to say, Dad, I'm going to own it. I messed up. Please take me back. And then in verse 20, he arose. So what I'd like to do now is look at one of the great impediments to verse 20, he arose. Because we all have impediments that are going to come at us. Can anybody name some impediments? And I'm looking for one tonight, but there's several that we're going to look at over the next few months. Just some impediments to getting up and actually, you wake up, you're in the pig pen, you're not where you're supposed to be, you know it's your fault, you're not going to blame anybody, you're going to own up to it. What is something that keeps you from getting up and going back to daddy's house? Come again? Embarrassment? That's a good one. Yeah. Huh? Come again? What? Pride? Fear? Fear? That's a good one. Pride's a good one. Shame, procrastination, right? Tonight, what we're going to look at is something a little bit deeper. Perhaps it's probably one of the first inherited sins of men. And one of the great impediments to getting up and saying he arose is the sin of passivity. Anybody know what passivity is? Being passive. What's that, Sister Hannah? Yeah, you just sit back on the couch and go, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. In 2003, you know, sometimes California, Southern California in particular, will have a great problem with wildfires. They just, and they just consume thousands of acres, right? Well, in 2003, there was a wildfire in California, and it consumed thousands of acres. It spread really quickly, and 24 people died. Two dozen people died. And here's the real tragedy of the situation. The cops came, get out. And there was one of the persons that was neighbor, could see it coming, could see it going rapidly. He was pounding on people's doors, and he made it. But when they interviewed him afterwards, I think the guy's name was like John Smallwood, he said, it was really frustrating. The cops were yelling, I was yelling, and these people were just like taking their time and packing. And what happened was those people that took their time, that started packing, they become charcoal briquettes. I mean, that's what happened. It's kind of, you know. And what causes people to go into this, like, inaction? What is the great thing that causes people to go into inaction? And sometimes it's like what we just talked about. It's a spirit of passivity. Now, here's the cool thing about the prodigal son. He didn't suffer from that. The prodigal son didn't just sit back and say, you know, I'm going to say to myself, Dad, you know, I'm so sorry I sinned against you. And then he sat back and hoped things would change. Things are going to get better. It didn't say that. He actually had the action plan, and he actually implemented the action plan. Now, here's the great irony of the situation. We love action. I mean, I would venture to say most everybody here from listening to conversations y'all have love action movies. Marvel Avengers. We all love Marvel Avengers, Rambo, Rocky. We love them. But the great thing is, the irony is, we love action movies, but we really don't like action sometimes. I mean, who suffers from the same malady that I do, where you watch the gourmet cooking shows, you enjoy the gourmet cooking shows, and then you get up and make the mac and cheese? Anybody do that? You watch The Biggest Loser. You're rooting for The Biggest Loser. You're sitting back thinking, yeah, I got to do something. Honey, bring me the Cheetos. You're watching the action. You're just not living the action. Anybody suffer from that malady right there? You watch the home improvement shows. You love the home improvement shows. And then you go up and get something to drink from the leaky faucet. We love the action, to watch the action. But a lot of times we don't actually engage and actually do the action. And passivity, especially prevalent in men. I mean, so here's a question for us as men. Let me ask you this, because just to kind of drive home the point, we like to watch the action, but not necessarily do the action. I'm going to give you a couple of quotes from some action movies and see if you can identify it. Okay, imagine me in a kilt. Ladies, calm down. And I shout, freedom! Anybody tell me where that's from? All right, one word here, and just see if you know this movie. Adrian! Rocky, there you go. What we do here will echo through eternity. Anybody remember that line? Gladiator. Ha! Oh, great action movies right here. But here's the thing, men. We love the action movies, but sometimes getting into the action is a little bit different. And just so we can go back and be real clear on this, and I said at the beginning of it, passivity is actually one of the first inherited sins that we have as men. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, Eve eats the apple. What's Adam doing? You can shout it out. I know you know the answer. Just shout it out. Let's put it on the speaker and for our listening audience.
Watching.
Yeah. He's doing what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Right. He sits back and he does nothing. Eve is going down the road, the wrong road. She's doing the wrong thing. And Adam does nothing, says nothing. And actually starts to participate in it. So one of the first sins we see on earth is Adam's sin of passivity, just sitting back and letting it happen right there. Just kind of watching the action, but not doing anything about it. So one of the great impediments to having the verb phrase, he arose, come up to us, is actually the impediment of passivity. And I'd like to kind of go back to a story in the Old Testament to really drive home this story. It should be a familiar verse of scripture to many of you. And if you go back to 1 Samuel, there's this high priest by the name of Eli. Now, Eli had two sons. Anybody know what the son's name were? The two sons of Eli, the high priest of Israel. What are his sons' names? Phinehas and Hophni. There you go. Good job. Dude, are like, if you did that little Facebook IQ quiz, and you jack right on up there. That's kind of cool. Phinehas and Hophni. All right, here's the thing. Phinehas and Hophni. This is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Because Eli's sons, okay, he's the high priest. How do you think his sons are? You think they're kind of righteous dudes? You think they're not righteous dudes? How do you think they're going to do? I mean, we all hear about preacher's kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, are they more like Melvin preacher kids? Or are they more like Thomas preacher kids? You know. Yeah. How'd they do? Just shout it out. You only got two choices, really good or really bad.
One root for Georgia Tech, the other roots for Georgia.
Really good or really bad? Okay, they did really bad here because, you know, you answered my question. Thank you very much. That's really cool. All right, so. If only you take this. All right, but okay, Eli's sons, they did really, really bad. And we go down, and it's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, and it says, and they knew not the Lord. Are you kidding me? Their dad's the high priest. How can the high priest's son, who has two kids that are working, now dig it, in the priesthood, not know God? Okay, that's some pretty passive parenting, you know? Hey, Dad, what you doing? Don't bug me now, son. I'm on the iClay tablet, okay? Just, you know, leave me alone. Hey, Dad, you know, what you doing? I'll be with you in just a second. I'm on this cool thing with an iron thing and a string. I'm on my iron thing, so you just hang on, son. I'm busy. It said they knew not. And then it goes on in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. And here's the thing. These kids were scoundrels. I mean, they weren't only like bad kids. They were super bad kids. People would bring sacrifices to the temple, and the sons of Eli would steal it. I mean, that's stuff that's been forgotten. That'd be like going through the collection line. You know, what's that song we sing? What is that song we sing? Holy cow, I'm getting Alzheimer's. Yeah, 484. Can we that love the Lord and let our joys be known? I mean, that would be like bad, right? So they were stealing from the sacrifice and from the God. And you know what else they were doing? Okay, there was these ladies that were designed, and they were just serving the temple. This is what you read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. They were stealing from God, and they were hitting on the women. And they were, yeah, they're sleeping with women. I mean, these are bad people, right? And it's bad because the people of Israel were coming up to Eli going, hey, Eli, your kids are like dirtbags. They're not good preachers. They're bad people. And it says, dig this. It says, chapter 2, verse 29. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 25. Now Eli is very old and heard all that his sons did. Okay, so he had the honesty. There was a moment of awakening when he's made aware of it because, you know, people came to him. He had the honesty because he heard everything that the kids had done. He heard all that his sons did and how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle congregation. He said unto them, okay, we had some passive parenting. They knew not God. So now he's made aware of the situation, all the bad things that the kids are doing. And what does he do? Well, he has a really stern talking to him. He says, dig this, it says, this is what he says. He says, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all this people. Nay, my sons, for it's not a good report I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. In other words, your sin are causing other people to sin. If one man sin against another, and judge shall judge him. But if man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Sons, if you keep it up, He's going to hold you accountable. He'll take your life from you. And they still didn't listen. And Eli did nothing else. Okay, that's some pretty passive parenting. Anybody here ever have a parent say, you do that one more time and you're going to get a whipping? Okay, this is a defax free zone. Okay, I see one hand. I can tell you all Melvin children have experienced this. Spare not the rod, you know. Where the parent, you know, just like, if you do it one more time, if you do, okay, I really mean it this time. No. I really mean it this time. I'm going, and just sometimes, and the reason we do that sometimes we're just exhausted. I mean, we're just too tired to pick up the belt. I wish you'd known that back then. But apparently, dude, Eli never picked up the belt. And so he has a really good time with his sons. But here's what he didn't do. He didn't take away their priesthood. He didn't take them away from the temple. He didn't fire them. You're fired. He didn't do anything other than have a really stern talking to. If he was on Dr. Phil, Dr. Phil would be going, well, you know, you're crazy, you know. And so he is a really passive parent. And here's the cool thing about God. Because even then, the Lord comes to him, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. And therefore I have sworn this unto the house of Eli, and the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with a sacrifice nor an offering. God even sends a warning to Eli of the consequences of not turning around. Okay, Eli, I told you. Yeah, I sent a message to you through the people. Now I'm sending you a message to through my prophet. And this is Eli's response. It's fascinating. Chapter 3, verse 18. And Samuel told him, Eli, every whit and hid nothing from him. He had some honesty going on. And he said, this is Eli. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Let him do what he wants. You know, it's God. That's what Eli did. In other words, que sera, sera. What will be. Even after God, you'd think that the high priest, okay, would say, you know what? Instead of making intercession for the people, I'm going to go and make intercession for my sons. I mean, that was the man's job. Because the Lord had in the past promised destruction to the people, and then people like Moses rise up and intercede for the people, and the high priest rise up and intercedes for the people, and the Lord changes his mind. Give anthropomorphism. He changes the course of conduct. You would think that when the prophet of God comes to Eli, the high priest, and says, here's what's going to happen, Eli would say, okay, let me do something. And this is what Eli said. Well, I'm just going to, you know, whatever. I'm just going to sit back and just let it happen. I got to tell you, Eli's like my least favorite high priest. I don't like really passive personalities. But the problem is that we all have kind of passive streaks in us, you know. And it's an impediment to being the kind of people that the children that God wants us to be. Now, I want you to compare that for just a second against Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah, one of the prophets, book of the Bible is named after him, helps rebuild the wall. And when trouble comes, does Nehemiah kick back and say, what will be, well, you know, we just need to let whatever happen will happen. No, Nehemiah says, pick up a sword and let's fight. Nehemiah takes action. Nehemiah gets a plan. Nehemiah arises. Well, Eli didn't do it. The prodigal son did do it. And men, so the question for us and young men, the question for us is, hey, will you put down your cell phone and fight? Will you put down the 9-iron and fight for your family? Will you put down the iPad and fight for your relationship? It's a problem that we all have in various areas of our life. Some of us as men need to put down our passion for sports and turn it into action and passion for our families. And we get so easily diverted. And instead of responding and addressing issues that come on us, we wake up and our marriage is in a pig pen, our relationship with our kid is in a pig pen, our relationships at work are in a pig pen. And instead of rising up and fighting, we kick back and go, well, we're just going to let happens. And here's the thing. You know, Eli's sons had a sense of entitlement. And what we're going to talk about now is kind of a shortcut to the pig pen. Why did they get in this situation to begin with? Why didn't Eli fight? Why did he have these pig-headed sons? And the thing is that the position of high priest was a good position in Israel. I mean, it was a servant's position, and it came with a whole bunch of stuff. And so they grew up as among the elite of the elite, and they just had stuff handed to them on a silver platter. They didn't really have to work for anything. So they grew up with kind of a sense of entitlement. It's something that threatens us here in the United States of America. But the problem was in that sense, and it's okay to be, you know, have stuff given to you and grow up in a blessed country like America. But the problem with Eli's sons is not that they had a whole bunch of stuff. The problem with Eli's sons is chapter 2, verse 12. They knew not the Lord. And that's the whole story right there for Eli's sons. They knew not the Lord. And when you grow up not knowing the Lord, you're growing up in a pig pen. You're not even in the father's house. You're in the pig pen. And they did as they pleased, thinking, you know what? It'll all work out. After all, we are the high priest's sons. Hey, any of y'all, can any of y'all tell me where this comes from, what this is? I'm going to speak a language to you, and you might get it. Your parents aren't going to get it. It's just going to be you and me, okay? Y'all ready for it? Tell me what it is. Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, enter. Anybody remember that? Oh, come on. I know you know this. Just go in the deep recesses of your mind. Up,
I think it was one of those, like, hack codes for...
Yes! It's a cheat code for Nintendo. Right. Cool. Excellent. It's a cheat code for Nintendo. Yeah. 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 Up, 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 down, down, left, right, A, B, and then enter. And with that, what you could do is, like, if you're doing Mr. Incredible or something like that, you could get unlimited lives. You could have Uber power and things like that. And you get to cheat the game. Dollar. All right, cool. Yeah, all right. So, and here's the thing. Is the game designed for people to cheat?
No.
No, the game wasn't designed for people to cheat. True.
Dang it.
Life is not for cheaters. And life is not for cheaters. Cheating is a shortcut to the pig pen. And here's what cheat codes look like in life, you know? Because passivity looks for shortcuts. It looks for cheat codes. Passivity looks for the broad road. The broad road that leadeth to destruction. Passivity says, you know what? I don't need to go the extra 10 yards. I don't need to have the hard conversation. I don't need to have this conflict. Everything is going to work out. Passivity in a family says, hey, what is the least amount that I can do? You know, yeah, mom asked me to take out the trash. And yeah, I'm getting the garbage bag against my will, I might add. And I see a piece of paper on the ground, but it's not in the trash bag. That's passivity. And that's a shortcut to a pig pen. Church people picking up a 400-pound raft and not carrying your portion of the 400-pound raft. Shortcut to the pig pen. All right, but... And so, you know, I just want to share something with you. How to avoid the pig pen and a life of passivity, because we all have a passive streak in us. We inherited it from Adam, but a passive streak leads to the pig pen. And it's two words: obey anyway. Because maybe you don't, you know, oh, John, it's so great to get up here and get our little pep talk about freedom and you know, this is all great, but I'm tired. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like having that hard conversation. I don't feel like fighting temptation. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like putting down the iPad and working on my relationship. I don't feel like it. Obey anyway. I was in traffic, always a learning and spiritual experience for me the other day. And y'all might not realize this, but I get kind of anxious sometimes. And so I'm in rush hour traffic, and I got to get to church, and I'm beeping my horn. I'm riding the person's bumper, and I'm beeping my horn, hoping that the car 12 lengths ahead of us, 12 cars ahead of us, will hear us and go, oh, yeah, maybe I can speed up a little bit more. And I'm just getting, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, is this something that a dude at peace would do? I know. What would a dude at peace do? Well, number one, he wouldn't get on the horn, so I stopped going on the horn. He wouldn't ride the dude's bumper, so I backed off a little bit. He wouldn't start cutting over lanes, and I'm like, well, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe I'll let that one go. Yeah, I don't want to go too overboard. He'd probably, you know, like put on a praise and worship station, so I flipped it over to the fish. He might start singing and smiling. And I started doing it. And at first I didn't feel it. You know, I felt like, you know, I'm just faking it till I make it. But you know what's happened to me? Is about 28 miles later, I actually felt something. And I started feeling actually at peace. Obey anyway. It's like, anybody here ever have toe fungus? You know, that kind of stuff that makes your toenails look like Fritos? Little yellow, curly, and thick. Hey, dudes, let me go ahead and tell you. I mean, toe fungus to the extent that you'll wear white socks on the beach instead of, there's no open-toed sandals when you have toe fungus. It's gross. I mean, it's just like gnarled, nasty feet. If you have toe fungus, let me tell you something. Soaking them in Epsom salts doesn't work. Soaking them in bleach doesn't work. Soaking them in borax doesn't work. Spray doesn't work. What works with toe fungus, and you can go to the doctor and he will tell you, you need to take a medicine, and you need to take that medicine for 90 days. Don't take the medicine less than 90 days. Take the medicine for 90 days. Don't give up on taking. Oh, doc, I hear you. Don't give up. And don't give up on the medicine for 90 days. And you'll start taking the medicine. And 3 weeks into it, you're going, dude, I've been doing this for 21 days, and my toes still look like Fritos. 45 days, Fritos. 60 days, your toes will still look like gnarled up Fritos. And you're going to be thinking, this is a waste of time. The doctor's probably having a good laugh at my expense. And what will happen about the 65th, the 70th day is all of a sudden, you're going to see a little pink. And by day 90, you're going to be wearing flip-flops to the beach because they're going to look like baby toenails. And it's going to be beautiful, and the Fritos are going to disappear. Obey anyway, because even when it doesn't look like God's at work, when you're obeying God, He is at work in your life. So, what's one of the impediments? Passivity. How are we going to avoid it? Obey anyway.